So I wanted to kind of look at something that happened last night. So Ryan last night had a pottery painting time for our meetup time. It was really great. We had a lot of people, and we had a lot of fun. So they took pottery, and they actually painted the pottery, and then and he's going to have it glazed and then fired up, right, and then given back. So it was a great time together. But it made me think of one of my favorite passages in the Bible. This is one of my favorite messages and one of my favorite passages in the Bible because it's about life. Life is not always a bed of roses. You know, it's when you come to God, things don't all of a sudden, everything becomes wonderful in your life. As a matter of fact, often it goes the other way. And there's a process when you have pottery where you have the potter. You have the person who creates the ceramics, the vessels. When we were in Ephesus a few years ago, Ed and I, we were watching this man make the pottery. And inside on the shelves, you see it behind there? Those are all works that have already been done. They've gone through the process. They've been painted. They've been fired up. They've been carved. They've been molded. And I started thinking when I was there of how God takes us. And each one of us is very different, but yet he's the master potter, and he can create us in his beauty, however we're supposed to be. The problem is, people who are not potters come and say, but you're supposed to be like this. You're supposed to be this kind of a vessel. You're a bowl. And you might be saying, I've never felt like a bowl. But okay, I'm a bowl. When God might say, no, you're a vase. Or as the gay men would say, a vase. Right? So I want to talk a little bit about who the potter is in the pot in the process. Now, if we do this, I'm going to use two versions of the Bible. Now, there are, when I say versions, there are translations. There is, most of you know the King James Version. If I say King James, you know what that is? That's the these and the thous. How many of you actually use that as a regular Bible? Okay. In the old days. Michael, you do as well? Oh, yeah, you said wrong. Okay. I love the Message translation. A Message translation is a new translation, and I'm going to do both today. So you kind of see the same scriptures in both. You're going to get a lot of Bible today. Is that all right? Yeah. So it's going to be giving you quite a bit of scriptures, and I want to kind of look at some scriptures. So let's go and let's start. So the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. And then the Message says this, I love it. God told Jeremiah, up on your feet, go to the potter's house. When you get there, I will tell you what I have to say. So I went to the potter's house, and sure enough, the potter was there working away at his wheel. Whenever the pot of the potter was working on turned out badly, as sometimes happens when you are working with clay, the potter would simply start over and use the same clay to make another pot. Then God's Message came to me. Can't I do just as this potter does, people of Israel, God's decree? Watch this potter. In the same way that this potter works his clay, I work on you. So obviously, Jeremiah is getting something from the Lord saying, the pot is who? Or the clay is who? Us. The potter is who? God. So the fact that God, when something happens, I believe completely in free will. I believe that God gives us free will. I don't think any parent would program, well, some might, but any good parent would program their child to make the decisions they want them to make. As much as you would like your children to make certain decisions, if you love your child, you know that child has to make their own decisions. And I believe God is the same way. I think he gives us free will, which means that sometimes I make bad decisions. Sometimes I make really bad decisions. Sometimes I make decisions that I think, okay, this is going to really mess my life up. Have you ever been there? All the time? Okay. Well, welcome to my world. So when an interesting thing happened this week, when I went to Bible college in 1984. Darn it, I want to say 94, but Lord, don't. 1984. So I started Bible college in 1984 and then graduated in 88. After graduation, I was working as a youth pastor for a couple of years, and then I went to seminary. Started in seminary in 1992, finished in 1994. While I was in seminary in 1992, I started dating a girl. Believe it or not, yep, started dating a girl. Her name was Catherine. Catherine was instrumental in my life because, and I'll get into that, but Catherine was instrumental in my life because, one, I really loved her, and two, she had a heart for God. And you know, anybody going to Bible college and seminary, you're looking for that pastor's wife. Oh, you don't know that. But let me tell you, when you're going there, you are looking for that pastor's wife if you're a man. If you're a woman, you're looking for that pastor's husband because your heart's ministry and you want to be equally yoked, so you're looking for somebody like you. And Catherine fit the bill. As a matter of fact, we were in our first class and she looked like, she's beautiful, but she was right next to me and she looks like Jane Seymour. Honestly, but younger. So she was. She's next to me, and there's only like five of us in this class, and it was a missions class. At this time, I thought I was going to be a missionary. I really was going to be a missionary to Latin America. That was my heart, and I had worked in an orphanage in Mexico before this time, so I really had a heart to do that, and I wanted to get my degree so I could go back and actually work as a teacher in the orphanage. That was my plan. Huh, look, you're not Mexican orphans here, but So those are my thoughts, right? And these are my plans. And so he says this, Brother Williams, he's sitting in the front and he's like, he's in his late 70s. He's been a missionary to Africa for 50 years. And he says, I would like to find out from each person here who you are, where you're from, and what you feel like God's calling you to do. And she's before me. And she said, my name is Catherine. I'm from Texas. And she said, and I feel like God's called me to work with children on the mission field in Mexico. That's my first introduction to her. And then he goes, next. And I'm like, my name is Keith. I mean, I don't look at her, right? So my name is Keith. I feel called to go work with children on the mission field in Mexico. And it's just silence in the room. So after that, we began to talk. And so we became very close. And through that process, we started dating. Her roommate's name was Deborah. And Deborah was a really loud girl. She was, you know, not much of a filter, but loved God with all of her heart. But she would, I'd always make fun of her because of the way she carried her purse. Now, you had to imagine, we're in seminary, we'd make fun of her, joking, because I liked her. We were friends. As a matter of fact, we worked at Radiant Christian Bookstore together. That's the Assemblies of God Bookstore in Springfield, Missouri, and we worked there. And she had a lot of Puerto Rican friends, she did. So we used to go to a Puerto Rican church together. But there's a name in Spanish, cochino, which means what? Pig. Okay. And then, so what? And what does sucia mean? Dirty. Okay. So she used to call me cochino. She goes, "Hey, cochino," and I'd say, "Hey, sucia." So, and so we just joked all the time. But we worked in Radiant Christian Bookstore, and we had the microphone system at that time, and she would say, "Mr. Cochino, line one, Mr. Cochino." And I'd say, "Miss Susie, you need it in the pack." And so we had that relationship. So I'm getting to a point. So went through life and all that, and at the end of when I'm graduating, decided, okay, I am not straight. I have to figure out who I am. I'm going to go to Exodus to change me. Catherine will wait for me, and she agreed, and I'll go and get this fixed and come back, and we'll be happily ever after, right? That was my plan. And so that's the last time I saw Deborah, and actually Catherine, because things didn't quite work out that way, believe it or not. Fast forward to this past weekend, and I am on my computer at night, and I get those Facebook people find you and they send maybe a message to you, and I get this message saying, "Just Cochino, oh my God, it's you." And I'm like, "No, Susia, no." And so we're going back and forth and we're talking about our life, and then the question comes. And she says, "So are you married?" I'm like, "So
Now, you have to understand, I went to the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary. It's very anti-gay. As a matter of fact, when they sent me the alumni card about my wife, my spouse, to fill out the information, I put Eddie, because he goes by Eddie, but at that time, I put Eddie down. And they changed it to Edie, thinking I meant a girl. So I call him Edie all the time now. I said, yes, but not to make that mistake this time. I said, and his name is Edward. And it's just quiet, right? And I'm thinking, okay, so many of my friends have, when they find out, cut me off, which, you know, it hurts, but oh well. And she writes me back, she goes, oh my God, I have a wife. And they've been together for 19 years. So I just thought, you know, it's amazing when you're on the potter's wheel, you think he's creating you to be one thing. When at the same time, when that doesn't turn out quite the way it's supposed to in that fairy tale or perfect life, he still knows what he's doing. He still is working that same clay. He doesn't get rid of the clay and start again. He takes that same clay. He just starts the process on the wheel again. Some of you may have started a long time ago feeling like this is what I'm supposed to do, and my life is so far away from what I thought it was going to be. But the clay is still the same. His hand is the difference. So I want to go through a little bit about this process. He says in, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we possess the treasures of God in earthen vessels. And if you go into the Greek, the word earthen means clay. You know what Adam actually means, the name Adam? It means dirt, but it means red clay. He must have been from Georgia. You think about that. I mean, it really means clay. So you get a picture of God creates Adam as clay. And clay has to be moldable. It has to be pliable. It has to be able to be shaped into some kind of a vessel. So we know that he's the potter and we are the clay. Jeremiah says this for the first two verses. So it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. And it says in the message, go tell, God told Jeremiah, up on your feet, go to the potter's house. When you get there, I'll tell you what I have to. Okay, the first thing that we as clay need to do is listen to God. We need to hear him, we need to listen to him, and we need to understand what he's telling us. It's often difficult because we can get our own thoughts in the process. Have you ever done that before? Our own thoughts. I love you so much. You are just an amazing person. I'm kind of veering out for a reason, but I just want to tell you this. So, you love everyone. She really does. If you know Ari, Ari loves everyone. Everyone. I know. So, she was in the hospital recently, and I walk into the hospital, and who's in there but a Muslim nurse with her everything on? And I said, how perfect did God pick this? She was Muslim, right? She was Islam? Yeah. Okay, make sure. Pick this nurse for her. Because she knew all about her culture, and she's asking her questions, and I saw that. So for somebody like Ari, who loves everyone, it's going to be hard sometimes when you see God doing things that may look like it's hurting someone, but it's not, because he's just molding, he's not hurting. He is shaping, he's not destroying. And so there are things that take place in our life, and if you have a tender heart, my husband and I had this conversation when we first got together. You know, why does God allow these things? But you have to understand, he's molding us. If I look back on my life and I think about the hard times of my life, those hard times is when I found God the most. When things were easy, I took things for granted. But man, when it was hard, when every one of my friends said, you know what, you're gay, if you're going to do the gay thing, we don't want to talk to you. If you're going to do the gay thing, and we don't even want to have any fellowship with you at all, and you get cut off from that. And it hurts, but at the same time, that bitter cup was sweet because I just had him. And that's when I'm like, God, it's just me and you. I don't know if I'll have anybody, because I didn't know you guys even existed. I thought I was the only, isn't that weird? I thought I was the only gay person who was a Christian. Have you felt like that? Did you feel that? And so I'm like, there's nobody else like me. I mean, there are people who might go to church, but you know, that have that real relationship with God, and I'm gay, and there's nobody else like me. So, you know what? I'm just going to focus on you. And man, my nights with him at the piano, the keyboard, I would just worship him and cry, and just me and him. It was the times that my life was changed. David was a carpenter, but he was also a shepherd. I'm David was a carpenter. He was a shepherd. But he was a king, but he was also a shepherd. And I think he would never have become king if he wasn't a shepherd. Because the shepherd boy had to learn how to, one, to care for the sheep. But he has to also think about the lonely nights he spent. A shepherd is not somebody that has a lot of people with him. They have a lot of sheep with you. But he's by himself. And those lonely nights at night, because you don't leave the sheep. You don't go inside and say, okay, sheep, you guys at night be fine. That's when he's got to watch the sheep. I imagine he took that harp and just worshiped God and just worshiped him during that night time, those dark times, and that's what formulated him to be able to be the king. So I think God reveals four things in these scriptures, and we'll look at these things. First thing is the potter. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was. And I'm going to say he for a reason, because a lot of times in our culture, I'm saying a lot of times, not often in our culture, and to be more progressive and to be more inclusive, we've kind of changed God from he to she or whoever. Understand. But you see, God is not kept in a box by our thoughts. God has every characteristic. He has both mother and father characteristics. But there's a father characteristic to God that is very important. Now, in our culture, we have a lot of single mothers. I am going back to culture in the Old Testament and New Testament time, when the father had certain roles. Because if you think about God, think about him just as the father role, not if you have to. The fact that the father was the one that, one, provided for the family. So he's your provision. He was also the one who helped the child to grow into adulthood. The mother would nurture. But the father would, I'm taking them out, well, especially the men at that. It was such a male-centered culture, which is not now. But he would take the boy to bar mitzvah, take him to different stages of his life. So I'm saying that because God is your father. He's the one who provides for you. He's the one who takes you and helps you to grow as well. So the potter is your father. So it says, I went to the potter's house, and sure enough, the potter was there working at his wheel. God is constant. You know, God does not change. Believe it or not, I'm not that constant in certain areas of my life, right? Talk to Ed, and he can tell you there are some times I'm not that constant. It usually happens really late at night that I'm not as constant. I may be really nice during the day, but when I'm tired, I can get a little cranky. You give me a Benadryl, and it's really bad. As a matter of fact, we almost broke up one time over Benadryl. We did. I digress. So I may be inconsistent. God is not inconsistent. He's the same. So that same God that you met when you were 12 years old, he's the same today. He does not change. Aren't you glad you have something that does not change? Our political climate changes every day here. It's crazy, isn't it? I'm glad that God's not crazy and he's not changing every day. He is constant. Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you can bank on it that he is constant. He is consistent. He is also self-existent. Colossians 3:17 says, "And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things are held together." I've said this before, but I believe in the Big Bang Theory. Absolutely. I think God spoke the word and the heavens were created and that was a big bang. And that same word holds those worlds in existence today. They are still spinning. I watched a documentary the other day on galaxies and planets and how they're looking at these different galaxies outside of ours and looking at the actual planets. And they have their suns and they rotate just like us. I mean, we have, you know, 9 or 10 planets. You talk to some of them. And then if you go out there, there's other galaxies the same way. Yet God is holding every one of those galaxies by that word. It's amazing. It's astounding that the God that knows our name created all of that. But he is self-existent. He is not dependent on anyone else. He is God. And he's omnipotent. The three O's. Omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Jeremiah says, "Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and nothing is too difficult for thee." He is omnipotent. He is also omniscient. He knows all things. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. He is the God of wisdom. He knows all things. This is the God that we serve, folks. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient. And this one, which sometimes we like and sometimes we don't. He is omnipresent. He is there when you're good. He's like Santa Claus. He is there when you're good and there when you're naughty. When you're nice and you're naughty. I was looking at Danny today. So Danny came in and, you know, she's got this brace on her leg and the crutches. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, what happened? She goes, oh, no, it's just a what is it? A project, because she's in physical therapy school. So I guess they're making you how it feels to be going through some one day. I was thinking about that saying, how wise that is to put someone who is going to be helping someone into the place of how it feels to be in that situation. And often, if you've gone through something, you have a lot more empathy, understanding, and compassion than someone who has not. Well, God has been through every situation you've been through. He's been tempted, the word says, in every area of his life, just as you, yet without sin. So we know that he understands us, and he's not hurting us, he's not condemning us, he's not judging us. He knows everything, and he's always there. I'm saying that because it's kind of funny. He has a sense of humor at the same time. But David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go and make my bed in the depths of hell, you are there as well." He is there for the highest time of your life, and he is there for the lowest time of your life. When you're having a great day, he's there. When you're having a really bad day, he is there. He is always there. That's comforting to me. The next thing he saw was the pot. So it says, and the vessel that I'm going to read the message. Whenever the potter was making out turned badly, and sometimes happens when you are working with clay, the potter would simply start over and use the same clay to make another pot. So if you have felt like, all right, I can't come back to where I was. There are things that have taken place in my life. I can't take it back. Whether relationships, jobs, choices you've made, it's okay. You may have gotten off the track, but God can put you right back on the track. It may not be the exact same track that it was, but it's the track that he wants you on at this time in your life. So as someone who is the pot, let me tell you that you guys are much better to me than working in an orphanage in Mexico. Because I think I have seen so many more things in my life and experienced so many great pleasures working with you guys than I could have there because God was in it. I often think about many people who are LGBT and stuck in what they think they have to be in the church because it's the church. And my heart goes out to them. I was speaking to someone fairly recently who is transgendered. And this person shared that they're actually pastoring a church as a male and transitioning right now. And it's been several years they've been doing that. And my heart goes out because how painful that is to have to really hide who you really are. Actually, gay people, we have it really easy compared to the trans community. It's just another level. But God is faithful. And he is doing that work. And we're here to support our trans community as much as the straight community. We have some straight people here, and we do love having straight people. Joy, we do, like I said last week, we believe straight people can go to heaven, so you're with us. We're okay with that. So, but the church is all of us. And the fact that we're all included is such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful picture of who God really is. I can't wait to get to heaven. You can wait a few years, but when I get there, I can't wait to see everybody that thought I wasn't going to be there, although they may not be there, but I can't wait to say, and they're going to like, wow, I can't believe, I'm so sorry. I mean, the things that are going to be thought because the church has been so destructive in so many people's life, but God is not that. He is that great potter. So the pot's the second thing, who's you. And then the last thing, Ed's my husband's least favorite word that I tell him, the process. Oh, the process is not always fun. So think about this. So you've got this clay. He's dug out of the dirt. It's clay. The first thing a good potter is going to do is he's going to drop this clay into water. You may think like you may feel like you're drowning. Help me, help me, help me. You're going down there and you're surrounded by water, but you're in that water because the water is going to do some cleansing for you. Now it says in Ephesians 5:26, "Let me cleanse you with the washing of my word." So he cleanses us by the word. Through worship, through the Bible, we get cleansed. And all of those rocks and all of the dirt floats to the top when you're inside the water of God's presence. Water also makes you pliable. It also makes you moldable when you're in the water. If you have clay and you get it on the wheel and it's not pliable, he's going to put you back in the water. So stay constant in worship. Stay constant in the word. It's going to make you pliable for God. The next thing he's going to do is he's going to take that pliable clay, that wet clay, and he's going to do something that really doesn't seem really nice to the clay. He's got that stone wheel on there, and he takes this clay, and with all the force he can, he throws that clay against that stone wheel. Now, to me, the Mother God would gently take the clay and place the clay on the wheel. Father God takes it and begins to throw it against the wheel. There's a reason, because if there's air bubbles inside of that clay from the water, when it's put through the fire, it's going to burst. And everything that's been done in this process, when it goes through the fire, is going to explode and it's going to have to be redone again. So he may cast you against that. Ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like God is casting you against a rock and just, boom, really, God? Really, this is happening? Of course. Really, God? Oh, I have that conversation quite a bit. Is it just me or you guys are so holy? But man, I get frustrated. Oh, thank you, sound person. I get frustrated. Sometimes I'm like, really, God? I mean, even when it comes to real estate, it can happen, right? I'm like, really, Lord? That deal was all set. It was ready to close tomorrow. Really? You know, and it's like, okay, I'm going to learn through this process to trust you and not me. And so he will do that to get the air bubbles out, but it's for our good. And once he's done that enough, then the fun comes. He puts you on the wheel and he begins to spin you around. Again. And again. Have you ever felt like you were spinning? Oh, I've been here before. Oh. Been here before. Yeah, you're going in circles. Been on this mountain over and over again. Yet what I don't realize is every time he's spinning me, a little less of me is being removed. A little more of me is being removed. He's got his hand on me. And so as he's spinning, some of that excess that he's not going to need or that's bad for this project is being removed. While he's spinning me is when his hands begin to form me and shape me. And maybe squeeze me a little bit, and all of a sudden, I'm shooting tall. You ever saw that when they actually do that? They begin to squeeze, and then the top of it just shoots up. He forms into beautiful vessels. So in that process, he is putting you on the wheel, and he's turning you over and over again, going around. And those are times that his hand begins to really form you into the shape of the vessel he wants you to be. Then after you are on the wheel, he takes you off, and you look beautiful. It's kind of like what we had last night. He had some already done pottery, and this is modern pottery is different, I know, than it is back then. But he had some pottery, and they were already created into the shapes. And then it was the artist's time to come in to decorate the pots and to make them more beautiful. So he takes the clay off the wheel, and he puts it. He'll decorate it, but put it on and form all kinds of images, whatever he needs to. But then he puts it on a shelf to cure. That's frustrating. If you've ever been placed on a shelf, it's not fun. Oh, where are you at? It's not fun to be placed on a shelf because you've done things and you know you can do things and you know God's created you to do these things, but yet you're put on the shelf. And you might want to say, get me down off of here. It's time. I want to be used. But God knows if you're not cured in the right amount of time, then it's not going to work when you actually go into the fire. You still need time to cure. So that shelf time is very important. Don't negate, say that, I will not negate being put on a shelf. If you can do that in the process and wait for his time to open up the doors for you, it's going to work much better than when you try to do it yourself. Just, I know that from experience, believe me. And then the last thing is our favorite thing, the fire. Oh, that's exciting. Aren't you ready to go through the fire with me? Aren't you ready? You're there. The fire is a time that you are put into the oven. I think of Daniel in the fiery furnace, right? God was, you remember that? But in that fire, and they're like, wait a minute. There's three that are in here, but wait a minute. I see a fourth person in there. God is with you through the fire. But the fire is a time that no two vessels can touch when it's put in the oven. You can't actually have them next to each other. You can't have your partner, you can't have your mother, you can't have your pastor. In the fire, you're by yourself. And that's really the only way to go through the fire. It's just you and the potter. The potter has his hand on you, puts you in that oven, and you go through that fire. But if you touch, then you're going to be molded together, and you're going to have to, you're gonna have to start anew or destroy that vessel. So the fire has to be... The fire has to be at a time of separation. That's the only way God can get what he wants out of the vessel. Okay. So, last night we painted vessels. But it's funny because I was next to someone and he had pretty colors, yellow and blue. And I said, but you realize in the fire, it's going to be really different color. He's like, really? And I said, oh, yeah. I said, like, this red looks pink. It's going to be really, because yours look really pink. It's going to be really red. Once the fire takes place, you may have muted colors right now, but let me tell you, when that fire takes place and you put in that oven, you come out shiny and smooth and vibrant. That's when the pottery really takes that color. You may not see all the colors, but when you come out of it, it's going to be shiny and vibrant. And God is in that whole situation because he is molding and shaping you and painting you. So you're going to be vibrant. I can't wait to see those. Did we take a before picture of the pots? You will. And then we'll take an after. Because I remember when we did the dog bowl. Well, you weren't with us, but we did the dog bowl. And Ed's like, you know, oh, he says, you know, the colors are so muted. I'm like, just wait for the fire. And so sort of God is saying that when he opens that lid and says, wow, look how beautiful they've become. Wow, look at those vibrant colors. It's only through the fire. And so I don't know what some of you are going through right now. I know some of you are going through some things in your life. You may be just feeling like you're going around and around in circles and not going forward. You may feel like parts of you are being taken away. And God is saying, those are the things I need to take away in order to form you into the vessel that I need formed. Or you may be to the point to where you're just sitting on a shelf saying, I'm ready to be used. God says, let me do a little more curing. There's a few things I need to solidify with you in order for you to be used. Otherwise, you're going to leak. Although the last thing, you may be in the fire. You may feel alone. You may be going through a process now. But just know that when you're taken out of that fire, it's going to be a beautiful vessel for God. Amen? So, Father, we thank you that, one, you are the potter. I thank you that your word tells us that we can delight ourselves in you and you'll give us the desires of your heart. Psalm 37 tells us, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But when you go into that original language, that word delight means be pliable, be moldable in the ways of the Lord. So, Father, I thank you that you're shaping us into who you want us to be. that you're taking things away and that you're adding things. And that, Lord, we know it's for our good. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.